You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome in to the last regular season game recap episode. As always, I am Tony East with the West Indianapolis Community News. I want to talk about this Hornets game that I was at. It was a great time. Got to talk to some players and McMillan before the game about how it went down. Got to see some fun guys play. And ultimately, you know, the Pacers really did not care about this game at all, as you could tell by their rotations. So it didn't really matter, but still fun to unbox it and talk about it. But more importantly, at the end, after we talk about that game, we'll talk about some playoff scenario stuff, and I'll try to outline me and Adam's schedule for this week and the playoffs. I got some questions saying, are you guys still going in the playoffs? Yes, that is our fault for being confusing. We're actually not going to stop ever. it'll continue to the playoffs and through the offseason, just probably in July or so we'll start doing one a week. But after the Pacers get eliminated, we'll do probably three a week. So just we'll still be releasing episodes as they keep going. But the last regular season one here today. Tomorrow will be our day off this week. So no episode Thursday, and then Friday we'll have a preview of the first round with a special guest, and then Saturday we'll have a recap of the first game, or Sunday, depending on when it is. I'll have to see. But anyway, let's jump into today's content, because this is today's episode. The Pacers played the Charlotte Hornets in their final game. Before the game, Nate McMillan was asked about his rotation, and it was announced way before the game that Thaddeus Young would not play, Bojan Bogdanović would not play, and Victor Oladipo would not play. Young and Bojan were both for rest, and Victor was for that foot injury he got in the Charlotte game late when he had to come back in after Lance was triple-double hunting and blew the lead. But yeah, he said that Victor would play if this game meant anything at all, so I'm not concerned at all about his injury going forward. I don't think anybody was anyway, but still, it was worth asking about. But the other two guys, he said, for Thad, it was a rest because he's played all 81, and he just deserves it, and I get that. You know, I didn't care at all. It was just funny to hear what their reasoning was. He said he consulted with the trainers. And for Bojan, he played Eurobasket, and he's played 77 or more games in all of his NBA seasons, so maybe the mileage is catching up to him if you include the summer playing in Europe. So he deserved the day off, too. So Collison and Turner were the only regular starters, along with GR3, Lance, and Booker, and that lineup did not work at all. Every starter was minus 20 or worse, except for Booker, who was minus 5, but he did not play with the starters at all after the first stint, because in the second half they started TJ Leaf, who had a career game, which I'll have to write about eventually. So he finished with TJ Leaf finished with 13 points on 6 of 12 shooting, and he missed all of his threes. So if he could have dropped his threes, he could have had his first ever 20-point game, which would have been awesome. We'll talk about that later, though. This game didn't matter, and the lineup combos were weird. And I don't think a lot of these guys had ever really expected to play outside of the starters, like the actual starters. I don't think anybody had ever played together in the lineup they were in, and I don't think they expected to ever be in that case. I mean, the starters actually were winning, and then about I'd say 7 minutes to go in the first quarter, Charlotte took the lead after the first round of substitutions came along. And they just never looked back. So I really do think it was mostly that. And Charlotte was, for some reason, I don't really understand why. They kind of tried. I mean, they played everybody. No one played more than the Dwight Howard's 27 minutes for them. Well, Kaminsky, too, also played that. But yeah, they didn't. They kind of tried, and I think if they had lost, they could have actually moved up a draft spot. So it was interesting to see them come out and try to kick butt in their last game. But they played heavy Kaminsky minutes, Malik Monk minutes again. Those two guys combined for 41 points. So maybe Charlotte finally has something. Probably not, because Kaminsky, as me and Wilfer were talking about, I think he's the most average player in the NBA. Wilfer thinks he stinks. But I don't know if they have anything Kaminsky. But Monk finally looking okay is exciting for them. The Pacers kind of had an answer for him. You know, they had GR3 on him for a little bit. He couldn't really score. But when he was guarded by like Joe Young was on him for a little bit, he was able to get free and do his thing. He had a couple nice assists, actually, in this game. And then Jeremy Lamb, another guy they want to be better long-term. He's younger than I thought, but Jeremy Lamb played 24 minutes too. So Charlotte angling for the future, as they should be. Cam Bolin played 24 minutes, 15 points. He didn't really tear him up in these last two games. The really tear him up thing was Dwight Howard once again, 17 rebounds. The Pacers did not really care about rebounding in this one, or at least boxing out Dwight, because they were getting every other rebound. Lance finished with 13 rebounds. Domas finished with 10. But they just, when Dwight was out there, they couldn't get any rebounds. But again, the Pacers were just punting on any semblance of a rotation we'll ever see. Joe Young and TJ Leaf both played over 20 minutes. Joe Young played okay as well. You know, I just like watching Joe Young for some reason. He's like a nice story of resilience. I'll have a story kind of about that later today. But yeah, he just tries his butt off, and he's exciting on offense. He's not a good defender at all. But when he hits threes, it's just fun, and he dribbles a lot, and it's cool. Lance was, like I said, with 13 rebounds, really exploding all over the court. He was really being dynamic with his rebounds. And you've probably seen it on the internet, but if you haven't, Dwight Howard has a breakaway dunk in the first quarter, and Lance comes out of nowhere for the chase down block and swats him from behind. And he thinks the play's over, so he like turns and faces the crowd and flexes and goes crazy. But the play was not over, and the ball bounced right to Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, who then immediately dunked it, which was really funny. But he was being entertaining, and on fan night it was cool. And I'll talk about fan night afterwards too. But the other stuff I want to talk about, Corey Joseph couldn't make anything. He looked kind of lost out there, which was weird. But again, when possibly the three most important offensive players besides Collison aren't playing, that kind of stuff's going to happen. It's just going to be harder for everybody to get their stuff going. Al Jefferson got to play again. Love when Big Al plays. 12 points on 5 of 7 shooting, which was fun. But here we go, the fun ones. Fourth quarter, they finally got in the game. Alex Poitras, I forget he's on the team probably more than anyone else on the whole roster. Got 3 minutes of time. Missed a shot, which stinks, but I'm glad he got to take one. EK Anibogu got in there, put up a nice $2 billion, or $200 million, I think, actually. It was cool to see him out there. Edmund Sumner got in. Edmund Sumner, how exciting is that? The two-way guy who was hurt and fell so far in the draft thanks to his knee injury. He got a two-year two-way deal. So this was his first NBA game, and he'll be back with the Pacers on the two-way next year. He got 2 points. He got a nice coast-to-coast layup, and he got a rebound, so Sumner looking like he could be a guy, maybe? I don't know. He didn't play enough to have any sort of showing of what he could be. But nice to see that they have belief in him to maybe one day be there. You know, they're letting him try. And that on its own is exciting. So cool for Sumner. That was what I was the most excited about. He threw down a really cool dunk in pregame. He's super athletic. That was kind of his thing coming out of Xavier. So he was cool to see him out there. I tweeted about him way too much. But this game was fan night. That was really cool. After the game, they had all the players signing, you know, plastic balls and T-shirts. And they were handing them out to people who stayed. I know there were a ton of people there that I know from Twitter that stayed late. So shout out to everybody who stayed and watched. I mean, it means so much to the team. And the team means a lot to the players, obviously. You know, it was super loud the whole time. Everyone's cheering and happy. It was really cool to just see all the interactions between the players and fans happening. You know, everybody's in a good mood, even if the Pacers just got thumped. I mean, no one really cared. Their seed was already locked in. Everyone's just in a great mood to see all the players, which was so exciting. And just reiterates the attachment this team has to the fans, and vice versa this year, just how cool the story's been. Lance took his jersey off and signed it and was pointing and making everybody laugh. He's just such a crowd favorite. You know, I rip his basketball talent sometimes because he just does dumb stuff out there occasionally, but you know, just such a nice guy and really loves Indianapolis, and I can never knock him for that. And it was cool that it was fan night just in general. And right before the game, we might have had the playoff hashtag come to fruition and become existing finally when Lance Stephenson said, I can't remember it. Oh my gosh. I was just getting ready to talk about it, and I can't remember what his exact quote was. Shock the world, right? Duh. He was talking about how he's thankful for the fans on fan night and how the Pacers are going to shock the world in the playoffs. So hashtag shock the world. Be ready for that to be coming. He talked about it before the game. Lance and Darren talked about it after the game in the locker room. You know, everyone believes this team's really going to shock the world. So they have the right mentality to do some damage in the postseason, no matter who they play, which is my incredibly nice segue into talking about playoff seeding for games tonight. Because even though the Pacers are done, the regular season's not. And there's still more to dissect. So for tonight, it's really just who do the Pacers play in the first round. The Bucks are playing the Sixers, and the Cavs are playing the Knicks. And the only way that the Pacers do not play the Cavs is if the Cavs win and the Sixers lose. So the Knicks are not going to be trying. They would like to get under the Nets in the standings, and a loss would get them closer to that. 28 wins, they're tied with the Nets. If they can get ahead of the coin flip odds to move up in the lottery, they'd be happy to do that. The Nets, I actually don't know. I'm going to look that up. I didn't plan on talking about them. The Nets are in Boston to play the Celtics. Celtics won't be trying. Nets might be trying because they don't have their pick. So maybe they win, but who really knows? It's on the road. But anyway, the Knicks are going to be not trying at all. The Cavs might be trying to move up because they want to be playing Boston. So I expect the Cavs to easily win. And 538, which I'll talk about why this is important in a second, gives Cleveland an 87% chance of beating the Knicks. So part one for the Pacers seems pretty easy. But part two is that the Sixers have to lose if the Pacers want to play the Sixers instead of the Cavs. The Sixers play the Bucks. So the Bucks are in a weird situation because they're currently in the sixth spot, and them winning could jeopardize who they play in the first round. If they win, they could end up playing the Sixers in the first round. Let me rephrase that. If they win, they could end up playing the Cavaliers in the first round because they would be helping the Sixers effectively fall in the standings. So who knows if they want that. But if they lose, they could fall as far as eighth and then play the Raptors, and I don't know if they want that either. I don't really know what their goal is in this game, so it's hard to say what their level of effort will be. And Philly's probably going to be trying because they want to hold on to the three, and it's in Philly. But they're on a back-to-back, and that's the Bucks' advantage. So if the Bucks really do go out trying and swing to stay in the sixth seed, they could have a chance of winning this one. And a Woj bomb just dropped as Adrian Wojnarowski tweets that Kevin Durant will decline his player option and be a free agent this summer. But that's not a big deal. He's going to restructure his contract and probably stay in Golden State anyway. Yeah, the Bucks could try. Hopefully, if you want the Pacers to play the Sixers, the Bucks try. But 538 has that game at basically three quarters to one quarter. So they have Philadelphia at a 75% chance of winning. So there's basically four scenarios, right? The Cavs and the Sixers win, the Cavs and the Bucks win, the Knicks and the Sixers win, and the Knicks and the Bucks win. So three of those four scenarios involve the Pacers playing the Cavs. That's every scenario except for Cleveland and Milwaukee winning. So the only one where the Pacers play the Sixers in the 4-5 is Cleveland wins and Milwaukee wins. And the odds of that happening, according to 538, are 21.75%. So just under 1 in 4 chance, basically, which is ironic because there's four outcomes, but that's not how they're reflected. There's basically a 1 in 4 chance that the scenario that they that seems like most fans want. I keep saying they, like the team does, but I don't actually know. But the most fans want, it seems like there's a 1 in 4 chance it happens. Looks like 65% chance that Cleveland and Philly both win. Just a 3% chance the Knicks and Milwaukee win, which would be funny. And about a 10% chance the Knicks and Sixers both win. So it's the second most likely outcome of the four, but it's dwarfed by the chances that Cleveland and Philly both win. But there's still a chance the Pacers do not play LeBron. And shout out to the Hawks for playing well tonight as I'm recording this against Philly and making them go wire to wire, because now their back-to-back is just a little harder because they just had to play a full game against the Hawks. So credit to the Bucks. We'll see how they do in their game. If you want the Pacers to play the Sixers, root hard for the Bucks. We'll see. I don't know what the Bucks' goals are. I mean, it's so weird because everyone wants to play Boston. So I don't know what the goals are for them. So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. Maybe everybody make Giannis your Twitter profile picture or something hilarious. But that's all I wanted to talk about today. Last regular season pod. We'll be back Friday. Shift into playoff mode. Adam will be on with our special guest. If you could leave us a rating on iTunes and tell us how great or terrible we were this season, that would be awesome. You can follow me at TEastNBA and this podcast at Locked On Pacers. We kicked butt on Twitter recently. Not sure when the mailbag will be coming out now because of the schedule change. We're stupid and didn't realize that they wouldn't know their opponent until tomorrow night, so we had to move our schedule around. But we'll let you know when it's all coming out. It could be a weekend mailbag, but thank you guys so much for tuning in. Keep sending in those questions anyway, because we will do the mailbag eventually, but Thank you for listening. Have a great Wednesday, and we'll see you guys in 2 days for the next playoffs episode.